Hey, it's Brent Smith, and welcome to BSL Insider Radio. My guest today is Jen Martin from Jen Martin Charity Event Consulting. And today we're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about life transformation. We're going to talk a little bit about charity events. We're going to talk about transformation because Jen has some amazing true life stories about herself that we can possibly cover. But basically, Jen's no stranger to the media, fashion, or glamour industries. She has brought her spirit to help others with the founding of Jen Martin New York. She has a family background in roots in Hollywood, organizing press and celebrity and media coverage. And before deciding to open her own business, she took her roots of Hollywood and interned at 20th Century Fox, where she worked in PR and special events department. She planned movie premieres, award shows for VH1 and MTV, amongst others. It was also around this time that Jen started volunteering as a wish granter for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, very cool, where she discovered the real meaning of internal happiness and the lasting effect it has on others, like what I'm reading right now. At that point, Jen knew that helping others was the path she was supposed to take. On her newly discovered journey, Jen's main goal is to be the change she wishes to see in the world, realizing that she can use her experience to share the true meaning of happiness with today's society is the reason why she has done hundreds of charity events pro bono. In her own words, it's through awareness and dedication that change can be achieved. Jen's connection, both personal and professional, to charity and nonprofit work is why she has such a good reputation with her clients. It was they who eventually pushed her to branch out. She was able to connect with clients unlike anyone else. And the personal attention that she gives to helping people is a true vested interest in their causes. She became a proud supporter of many charities based in New York City, such as the Make-A-Wish Foundation, the ASPCA, which both have a spot in Jen's heart. She's also on several committee boards, such as the St. Jude's Children's Hospital, AHRC, Free Arts, and Memorial Sloan Kettering, based in Manhattan. Or actually based in Manhattan, Jen occupies her time by consulting with others who might not know how to go about setting up events. It's with her company, Jen Martin New York, that Jen hopes to offer her services to the world. Okay, I got through that. Jen, I'm going to let Jen tell the rest. Jen, thanks so much for being here. When I read about you, you've got so many fascinating parts about you that I'm excited to start talking about it. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And today we've also got Jason Troy and Dylan Prema. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Excited to have Jen on the show today.
Yeah, doing great. Thank you, Jen, for coming. We're going to have a wonderful conversation across a lot, which is good. So it would be great if you could just start off talking about a little bit of your background, also how it went into doing charity events and, you know, helping and giving, because I think that's one area their audience would really love to hear, kind of how you kind of got into it all and did it and now really took it to the next level.
Right. Well, I guess, you know, my story basically begins as, you know, a girl who grew up in a world of abundance, having everything handed to her, but not really giving back. And it wasn't until I started volunteering, I actually volunteered before the Make-A-Wish Foundation for the AHRC, which is the Association of Handicapped Retarded Children, which is an amazing organization. And it wasn't until then I learned what the true meaning of happiness is and all the external stuff that I was given and that we as a society put so much emphasis on really isn't that important. It's the internal things, love, it's giving back, it's, you know, being a pillar of a society. It's just doing your part to do whatever you can to make this world better. And I cannot say that enough, especially in a time like this where there's tragedy every single day on so many different levels and so many different, so many people's lives are being affected. And unless we do something about it, nothing's going to happen. And, you know, the best, like I told you before, the best gift to give yourself is to give to another. And if, even if it's a smile, smile at someone who looks like they're having a bad day. And you don't even know what that smile did to that person. It's truly unbelievable.
We talk about that a lot around here. It's the small things. It doesn't have to be one grand gesture, which we get caught up in when we think about charity and giving and inspiring people. But it could just be holding the door open. It could be, you know, right, waving at someone. You know, it could be smiling, like you said. It could be just acknowledging them, saying hello, saying hi, how's your day, asking them how their day is. Something really, really simple and free and very little time. You know, you can do it while you're still moving. You can still do what you're doing. So I think that's really, really important that you brought that out as one of the first things, because that is so key here, and we talk about it all the time.
Yes, every day. So how do you decide to like get more involved in charities, like kind of starting, you know, your business around that? I mean, and focusing on that, just can we just help? Because a lot of people, you know, they don't know where to get started with it, right? So people think, oh, giving, like, what do I do, and how do I start it, and how do I think about it? So that would be kind of helpful to kind of go into that for people.
Well, there's many forms of giving. As far as charity events, you know, having, you know, roots in Hollywood and being involved in that industry and living in the city since I was 18 years old, I went to a lot of events, and, you know, I was known as a New York City party girl, and I loved it, and I loved, you know, attending and going to events. So why not combine my passion for, you know, charity nonprofit with events? And I had the contacts. I knew the right people, you know, so it was media, photographers, monetary sponsors, you know, and I was able to utilize a lot of my contacts and start this company to, you know, the main goal is to gain people's awareness on, you know, the belief of giving back and to actually give back. And I wanted my events to not just feel like you're at a cocktail, like, you know, some random happy hour or cocktail party where you don't really know what you're actually there for. You know, I like to have one sheets about the event. You know, I like to about the cause. I like to have, you know, video if that's possible, you know, about, you know, the organization. I do stress that, you know, it isn't easy, but it is absolutely wonderful and so fulfilling.
So there's an educational aspect to your events, which is educating people on why they're actually there other than to, you know, have cocktails and be seen and hang out with people. But it's actually, what are you here for, what it's about, so that they, maybe there's a little deeper meaning to them being there.
Yes. And maybe they'll leave the event not just with a goodie bag, but with, you know, with the mindset of, you know, wow, like, this is an unbelievable organization, and what they do is amazing. You know, I'd like to find out more. Maybe I could start volunteering. Maybe I could do my own charity event and raise money for them. You know, there's always, like, something that they can take away from my events.
You know, that's really interesting, because we talk about that a lot as well, is having an event that actually, the next level of events, of charity events, would be to inspire other people to have their own charity events or figure out how they could give back. I mean, that's awesome, because most people, you know, just like we talk about the next level of giving being giving to give rather than giving to get, this is the next level, inspiring others to figure out how they want to be involved. That's awesome, and that's, you know, that's what we hope to do when we have things.
I would love, you know, if I was mayor of the city, I would love to, you know, have, you know, one huge event, you know, in the city and have every, you know, demographic and every borough come and, you know, be together and help raise awareness for whatever cause. You know, it could be for Sandy, but just, you know, I don't want, like, I feel like it needs to be less tailored to a specific demographic, especially in my case, and I do, you know, a lot of high-end red carpet charity events. They are expensive, you know. Obviously, the money is worth it. It's a great cause, but, again, obviously, like, you know, the economy isn't in our favor right now. So I need to think beyond the box and figure out how I'm going to reach that broader demographic. And how am I going to do that? If it's through, you know, talking to – you know, you guys, if it's, you know, doing speaking engagements, if it's just even traveling to, you know, and finding out what people think of, you know, charity events in general, or, you know, how they would like to get involved, just something, maybe starting my own, you know, nonprofit, and where, you know, not only do we do events, but, you know, we also train and help others, you know, be advocates for,
exactly.
giving back.
That's it.
And you know what, we're creating it right now. That's the thing.
We are.
So yes. We're creating it right now, this very moment on this audio. I think it's very powerful because I think that has to happen. And we're making it true by talking about it, and that's the first step. And then, you know, pulling together connections and who everybody knows and all that kind of stuff. We all know a lot of people. It's just a matter of just creating it and the pieces.
Well, it's just about bringing people together. You know,
and then empowering them and training them to do the
yes,
same thing.
Yes, bringing everybody together. People are just
that's really it. How many people
so
really
much
do that
politics
too?
Right now, you know, and everybody seems to be segregated on, you know, many fronts. And it's like it's enough already. We can't really rely on our government to fix all our issues. We, you know, need to be the voice, and we need to enforce the change because, you know, our future generations, like, what are they, you know, what are we giving them?
Yeah.
And it's
one of the things we talk about here is social anxiety a lot. And a lot of times, you know, in the transformational industry, a lot of times people don't make the progress that they want or that they should have after putting so much effort into it. It's because they don't get outside of themselves. And that's why we advocate so much to hold events or bring people together, be social, inspire other people, give to give. Because what it does is it creates a very visceral experience where it takes them out of their head and they end up making much more of an impact because they're bringing other people together or it involves people that's just not about them, right? So it starts to dissolve those issues when it becomes about the community rather than just yourself.
Right. And we, you know, social media, there's been so much backlash from it. Like we need to use it as a positive, you know, reinforcement. We need to use it to our advantage. We need to get people more focused on the good, not the bad. And, you know.
Yeah. And if you want change, like you had said, and I know you believe this as well, is that, you know, if there's something you want that you're complaining about that's not happening or you don't like the way things are done, then you have a choice. You know, advertisers will always follow the money faster than anything else. So you can vote with your money by spending it somewhere other than where you're spending it. Behavior, that's how it all changes. You know, rather than being angry about who's doing what and who's not doing the other, just be it. Be the change. Vote like that. Vote with your money. Because they will always follow the money. You know, that's the thing. And because we have a lot of people who will say, oh, I'm so angry about this other thing. And I said, that's not really the way to approach it. I mean, it's okay that there's a problem, but, you know, just focus on education and change and training because being it. Because then, you know, that's the easiest way to bring people along rather than forcing them or telling them they're wrong or making them evil or whatever. We do, like you said, we have to take responsibility and take it into our own hands. And I think the key there is we also. The key words is we. And we are very powerful. If the individual is powerful, then we are super powerful. So a bunch of individuals who believe that they on their own can make a difference and get all those individuals together in a we format, wow. That's something that
would
go pretty quick.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I think more and more people are. I think that's the encouraging thing is – you know, more and more people are really sold in the concept of giving and really having that be a forefront in their lives. And we see this evidence now even more and more. I mean, that's the good thing about social media and blogging. You actually see it if you're actually looking around. And since we're out there actively collaborating with people and looking around, I'm finding more and more evidence than I thought even existed at that point. And I think that we just need to do a better, even more job of now starting to bring all these different collaborators together on different, you know, industries and markets and socioeconomic levels together to spread the message and bring them together, and then to inspire people to give, as you said, on the simplest levels and start redefining what giving means in people's heads, that it's not some big act. It's something you can do every single day on a very small level. And actually, that actually makes the most impact, and because you have to actually inspire others by your actions, not your word, that gets people to do it. And then when they start actually feeling, you know, conscious around by the world around them, actually, you know, that they can make an impact, they start doing more and they start looking for opportunities instead of feeling like they're the victim and someone help me, you know, and sit back. They actually are the, you know, they realize they're the cause and they can do, you know, great things. And we've talked to a lot of people that have started out in a world of one and now have built organizations around them that are helping people on all different levels. So it can be done. It really starts with one person. It doesn't need to start with more than that. And all these great success stories, when you go on looking at them, all these charities and a lot of those ones that are actually small, they're doing significant impact, were started by one person and had an idea. And then that was it. And they had no idea what to do. And stumbled around and they, you know, got some success. And then they figured out what to do along the way. And so, I mean, I think that's...
Yeah, and I think, you know, with the devastation, the tornadoes, Hurricane Sandy, Boston bombing, seeing, you know, the communities come together and rally for, you know, for rally for the victims and help rebuild, you know, not just, you know, monetarily, but, you know, rebuild, like, their strength and their confidence and help them heal. And I, you know, I've seen that, and I hope the media keeps on reporting on stories of how one woman decided to rent a truck and fill it up and go to, you know, a horrible place, you know, where Sandy hit, and, you know, just handed out food, handed out water, handed out baby supplies. And it was just her. But by watching that, I was inspired.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I'm not alone with that.
Yeah, it is just that easy, right? And when you have an idea like that, I have been practicing this for the last couple of years. When I have an idea, I just take action on it immediately, you know, or because else I won't. So if it's like if I'm, you know, at the pet store and I'm buying some food, and they go, oh, you want to donate to this shelter? I go, oh, really, where's the shelter? Oh, it's over there. It's local. It's over there. I go, what do you, okay, let me, give me the name of that. And I call and say, what do you guys really need? Oh, we need food. Great. What kind of food? Great. And just go pick up a case of food, drop it off, done. Right? And you just keep doing stuff like that. So it's just taking action, doing it, taking your car, taking your truck, filling it up with water, supplies, whatever. Just do that, and you'll learn so much from just doing that. And, yes, you can always do it better and make it bigger and all that kind of stuff. But it starts with the one act. It starts with taking action and executing on that idea in whatever. And don't try to make it perfect. Just do what you can do. Do it the way you think you should do it. And then you can always build on it and make it better. But following through with the act is really important. And as you said, other people will see that. They might be inspired, or you can, you know, then enroll 10 other people to do that. And soon you can have, you know, right, 18 wheelers showing up. But maybe it's just you and 10 of your friends with cars. That's fine too.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good. It all helps. It's all positive. It's all moving forward.
Yes, it is.
You know, Brent, that's really interesting, because human beings are really driven by experiences. We all want different experiences, and no one looks at it from this perspective, right? And people want to sit back and watch TV and just consume the media and live vicariously through the box, and they can have these so many rich experiences by throwing charity events, by going out there bringing people together, by, you know, filling up your truck and going to this, you know, place you may have never been, you know, the disaster site, and helping out. You know, you could have so much more of an action-packed life than watching the next thriller on TV, right, and just sitting back and not doing nothing and helping anybody.
Yeah, well, and that is a charity event.
Yeah.
It's just a different kind of charity event. It's an event where charity is given. So you could reframe it, and the way you think about charity events has to be this big thing that takes you 8 years to organize. No. You just have to start being resourceful and not worry about the resources and not waste.
Yes.
Right? This is an event of charity. You driving in your car to the store and getting some stuff and driving directly to the place and handing it out is a charity event. So, yeah, and it's going to be an experience that you will never forget. You will learn from it. And as Jen said,
you'll meet wonderful people along the way.
Absolutely. You'll meet wonderful giving people, and you'll truly experience firsthand and not through the tube or through, you know, Facebook, what it means. Because people, you'll be handing actually people who actually need it, and they'll be there receiving it. And you'll see what it's doing. And so that's a whole different ball game than a lot of other stuff, than sending money and donating money and all that kind of stuff, which is good. Still keep doing that. But it's just another little thing you could do, another little level, another level of it completely. So, you know, just another thing you can do if you're sitting around thinking, oh, I'm being stopped because I don't have time, or I don't have a ton of money, or I don't know all these people or whatever. Just take action. Just do it. Be an event of charity.
Yes. Yeah. Jen, well, what
do
we need?
Something.
What?
Sorry?
No, go ahead.
No, it's okay. You can go. I don't even.
I just want to ask questions. So when you see people, you know, or you cross people that are resisting, you know, giving, what do you find that people normally do, or what do you find, or when you try to like introduce the concept of giving to people and they're resisting, I mean, what is it that you find or that people do, or responses that you'll get from people? I think it's just interesting to talk about that level too, and people's resistance levels to doing some of this, and why they resist.
I mean, I think a lot has to do with, in charity event case, you know, financial. I see people saying they don't have the time. They're scared, like they don't know, like, you know, what's like how to get involved. I think it's just, you know, it's the education that needs to be reinforced and heightened. That I think that's the biggest barrier that I find. People just don't know.
That's why we need a 5-step system and create a little charity pack. Here's how you do it right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's really important, because I think a lot of people just, their mind is not trained in order to go to the next step of not needing to have like 5 things attached together to it. People are like, well, since someone doesn't hand it to me, I can't do it, right? And I think once you get people doing it, then they figure it out, and they're much more willing to take these leaps of faith without having evidence or someone handing you a packet that says, here's what I have to do. But initially, a lot of people are just overwhelmed by the smallest concepts. Like, you know, I always thought to myself, like, volunteer a charity, like, how would that be hard? But for some people, it's paralyzing. Well, what charity would I do? Like, how would I contact them? Like, how much time would it take? Like, 5,000 resistance points, and people tend to go to those, and then that pretty much means they will do nothing. They'll just go back and continually do what they want. So, I mean, I think finding some way to educate them by saying, look, I mean, all you need to do is go and volunteer an hour of your time. And at that point, it's all going to be apparent to you once you get there and do it, what opportunities are there. And if you don't know, you'll start to ask, because you'll be among people that you can. And then at least it's accessible. It's not you sitting on a couch or at home or out at a restaurant and thinking, well, I could have been there tonight, but I don't know how. I don't know what I'm doing. So.
And again, volunteering is unbelievable, because you're actually there. You're actually, you know, being the change, you know, being the positive for that person, that house, that animal, for anything.
Yeah.
And that's an unbelievable feeling to be able
now,
to
what do you – Go ahead,
Jason.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, like, what causes or things are you really, like, is on your radar screen right now that you're really, you know, excited about?
Make-A-Wish Foundation and the ASPCA have and will always be, you know, very close to my heart. I definitely being that
why are those two? Why are those two near and dear? Is there some story behind it or something?
I love animals, love, 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 and the ASPCA, I did a pro bono event for them many, many years, and, you know, I love what they do, so, you know, I stuck with that. I've done other, you know, animal charities, but I really love the ASPCA, and as far as Make-A-Wish, I, you know, was able to volunteer and be a wish granter and grant these children who have life-threatening, you know, diseases, you know, their wish. And it could be as simple as a TV or, you know, as, you know, lavish as a trip to Switzerland. But the reaction is always the same. That smile is always the same. And I used to hang up every picture of me and child that I did a wish for with, you know, their gift. A lot of times if they're going away, I just show a picture of, you know, where they're going. And my friends would look at, would come to my apartment and look at, you know, my wall, and they'd be like, he only wanted a TV, or he only wanted a, you know, gift certificates, a Toys R Us. You know, why didn't he want something, you know, like crazy? He can have whatever he wanted. And, you know, that TV is what he wanted, and that TV made him happy. And these kids, whenever I worked with them, never, they always had a smile on their face. And they always thanked me, and I felt like I should be thanking them because they had taught me so much. So that, you know, that is why I, you know, Make-A-Wish is near and dear to me. And domestic violence is an issue that, you know, I haven't, you know, done a lot of charity work with, but, you know, have had experience myself. And every day on the news, you hear five different stories about a husband, a wife, a girlfriend, a sister, a brother getting, you know, killed or stabbed or whatever because, you know, of abuse. And the laws, you know, besides, yes, physical abuse, there are laws, but emotional abuse, mental abuse, which I feel, you know, is just as bad as physical abuse, if not even more, like in regards to it lasting much longer, the pain inside from, you know, the way the person you're with, you know, is treating you is devastating. And I think that, you know, laws need to be changed, and they need to also involve stalking, bullying. We should not have a 12-year-old child kill herself because she was bullied. That is unacceptable.
Yeah, important. Those are some important issues. You know,
yeah.
Helpless kids, helpless animals, and people who feel helpless within relationships and in households and things. And we do see it every day, and it is it's certainly something that needs to be brought to the surface more. And
Jen, what do you think makes them feel so helpless? This person in a situation as dealing with abuse. What do you think makes them feel
I think
so
they're
helpless?
Terrified. I think that, you know, any ounce of self-worth, self-confidence, self-being, self-will, like, has been tarnished. And they feel that they have no escape. And they feel so down about themselves that they'd rather stay in the situation because they feel broken and they feel like nobody else will accept them and will be able to love them. So they stay. In some cases, you know, threatening, you know, threats are happening, and that's another big issue. So, I mean, those two are what I feel is, you know, the biggest problem. And also, a lot of times, you know, these women or men are very vulnerable, and maybe they don't know where else to turn to. Maybe they don't have family. Maybe they're scared to go to a shelter. Maybe they're scared
right.
to go to the police. Because of what, you know, the repercussions can be.
Well, something we talk a lot about is if you have been a victim of things that nature, that, and I don't want to underplay counseling and therapy and all that. Great, there's some great people out there doing some great things. But as part of it, another thing to consider in addition to that is to help others who've been in the same situation or maybe even had it worse than you. And because, you know, from people who are there, who understand where those people suffering from that are coming from, there's a great deal of help that can be given along with your personal healing regarding the situation. And I think we talk a lot about how that is a great thing to consider and certainly an option for everybody if they choose it.
Yes, definitely. You just have to know that you're not alone and there is help out there if you're willing to
yep.
seek it. And you have
yes.
to, like, you need to choose yourself and, you know, do it.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's tough. I totally know it's tough for people, and the mind
yes.
game that is played in some of those situations is very tough. And you know, at some point we have to say, okay, you know, great. There's what happened, and what am I going to do with that? What am I going to do with that story?
Yeah.
How can I empower myself to avoid, to emerge from keeping myself the victim in an unhealthy way moving forward, even though that situation might be in the past or that person's out of my life or I'm no longer in that situation, because we do tend to carry that with us and keep ourselves the victim for a long time unless we're aware. And so it takes more people to make you aware that you don't have to do that anymore and that you can choose to be empowered and help others
yes.
and work through your issues.
Yeah, I mean, you have that choice. But people have to understand
yeah.
that they can't change anybody else. And
right.
the person's not going to change, you know. So a lot of times, you know, people will stay in relationships in the hopes that, you know, things will change. Like in my situation, when I got engaged, I thought things would change. Things only got worse.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, it took a lot. You know, to get out of that, and it took a lot of healing. I'm still healing from it, but it was the best thing that I could have ever done. So I can just only imagine if I would have stayed with this person and I would have had children with this person, how worse off I would have been.
Yeah, yeah.
And coming
yeah.
through it is where the strength comes in, right? Is when you... we talk about our comfort zone here at BSL, and we talk about when you stretch beyond your comfort zone and you do things that make you uncomfortable, that serve your growth, of course, that's when you gain the strength or the, you know, you learn new skills or you learn new lessons that can serve you in other areas of your life. And that doesn't happen without going through it, you know? And so, I think acceptance is a big part of it, right? That knowing that you do have a choice, and it's the choice comes in where, what are you going to do about it? You know, at that point, you know what happened, but then there's what can you do about it? You know, and ultimately we are master creators, and we can create anything we really choose to, and everything that we've created up until this point, as we talk about, is something we've created.
Yep.
So whether it's been something we've consciously created or unconsciously created, we're always creating. It's just I think we're taught that we're not taught just how much control we have over that ability, and we're not aware of how really powerful that we really are in terms of being able
mm-hmm.
to really create anything, any sort of situation, create any sort of dynamic between a group of people, as far as, you know, maybe in business or anything. You know, we're not taught that we, everything that has meaning in our lives is something that we've assigned meaning to, and it's not necessarily something outside of our control where, you know, meaning fell out of the sky and we're kind of stuck with the meaning that is assigned to this person or this situation or this business failure or whatever.
Correct, yes.
Like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're just not – most of the time we're not given the tools, and we don't understand that we can take that information, we can take what happened and use it for good. And so we stay in the bad for a lot longer than we have to, because we haven't been taught that we're supposed to not feel sorry for ourselves. Or how long am I supposed to feel sorry for myself? How long am I supposed to be the victim? How long should I be angry at that person that they did that to me? Right? Like no one says, oh, yeah, you know, here's how you do it. Like most people don't know. So we end up, you know, kind of flailing around and spending longer in it when, in fact, you know, having some awareness and working through it can use all those experiences to help others and grow and so on. So
that's in the darkest skies where the stars are best seen.
That's right. Awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, Jen, if you knowing now what you know, what would you have done differently as far as reaching out to different resources? Because I think that would be a common question when people ask, like, okay, well, what resources, I mean, would have been most helpful at that time to access based on what you know now?
I would have reached out to my family and my friends, you know, foremost. I did not tell anybody what was going on, which, you know, was not good. I don't recommend keeping it in. I would, you know, reach out and get counseling. I highly recommend, you know, being in therapy and talking about it with, you know, an unbiased source. I would have done that because I didn't do any of that. And that's why I was in this relationship for as long as I was. Feeling I was, he made me feel just so unlovable that I just kind of felt myself that I was alone, and I felt like, you know, something is wrong with me if my friends and my family are going to judge me because I'm in this situation. And once they knew what was going on, they didn't judge me. You know, they comforted me. They helped me. They helped me get through this. You can't get through this alone. It's impossible. You are the person who is going to be able to change how you feel, but you need support because it's a horrible thing to go through, and I would not wish it on anybody.
Yeah. Would you say shame?
I don't think there's nothing wrong with that either. A lot of times people have trouble asking for help or asking for anything. They just don't allow themselves to receive or give other people the gift of giving, right? It's a big thing, right? And it's, I think one popular quote is that if you help enough other people get what they want, you'll eventually get what you want, you know? And we kind of talk about, you know, life supports more of life, you know? So it's I think we're all in this together. Ultimately, it comes down to, again, the current theme and on all levels is collaboration and we community. So
yes.
But Jen, would you talk a question like on shame and guilt? Did that play a big role, you believe? Because I think it's
yes, I do. Because I always the way that people view me as being so confident and self-assured, and that was me, and it wasn't for a while when I was with him, and I think I purposely just alienated myself, from a lot of people, because I felt ashamed, like, how could this self-assured, amazing girl be with a guy who, can treat her like this? I couldn't do it. And that is the absolute wrong, assumption. I should have, taken action, but I can't go back in the past. I can't change what happened. I can only learn from it and help others that are experiencing that. Because sometimes, when you haven't experienced something, if it's eating disorder, abuse, it's better to be able to speak with someone who understands it and gets it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So how does
there's
he,
so
how
many
did,
people out there that are going through the same stuff?
Yes.
So many.
How does it affect how do you think your relationships have evolved right now? And I think, and then one aspect is like being vulnerable around other people. Like, is it changed?
I was definitely vulnerable, for many months after the breakup. I still am, because when I do go out and I see people that I haven't seen in a while, that's always the first question. What happened to your relationship? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't feel the need to rehash it over and over again. So I do have, I still have, anxiety from it. But the more I push myself to go out and do things that I enjoy again, it's therapeutic for me. So as much as I don't, you know, like talking about it to like 5,000 of my, you know, Facebook friends, it is good to, you know, get out there and to speak about it to an audience that, you know, can understand and appreciate and learn from it.
How would you wish people would approach that may be coming up to you? I mean, I think that's an important thing to discuss, because now as people might know people in these situations and just be sharing with them, because a lot of people probably are, they don't know what to ask. So they might ask you things like that that might actually be not helpful. And is there anything you could say, or just not talk about it or not bring it up? Because some people then think, well, then it looks like I don't care. So,
yeah, I think people need to
reach out. Mm-hmm. And whoever's listening, you know, I encourage them to reach out to me if they're going through this, or if they, you know, are going through something else and they want my opinion. I definitely encourage that.
How would you
encourage them to reach
out to someone they know who's in your situation or who's been in your situation, like a friend of theirs, where they know that something has ended, and they feel like if they haven't seen him for a while, they feel if they don't ask what happened, then the person will say, well, don't you care about me? But the other side of that coin is that if they do, the person might have to rehash it and go through it again. Is there any middle ground there?
I think it depends on the person and on the level of, you know, on, you know, how they're doing, like their emotional state is, you know, I mean, if it, someone's asking them right after, you know, they got out of the incident opposed to a year, you know, over a year like I have, I think it's, you know, different. I was, you know, able to speak to my family and close friends about it, you know, after, when I got out of it. But, you know, I would not be talking about it right now if this was, you know, last year.
Mm. Got it.
It's, yeah. Another question is, if you see, you know, if let's say you have, you know, someone who's in a situation like you were in, has anyone said anything to you at the time, proactively, I mean, and kind of approached you with anything, or would there be anything if someone sees someone who's in a situation similar to you that they could do to be helpful to the other person?
To their friend, I'm sorry, can you like refer on that?
Well, it's just like if you know someone who's in it, a bad situation, domestic violence or any abuse situation, but they're not doing anything about it. So the person they know is keeping themselves in that situation. Is there anything that a person could do to help them get out of it?
I mean, unfortunately, not really. It has to really come from that person. As far as, you know, talking to maybe, you know, their family about it, just so they're, you know, aware of it. But it's a very sensitive issue. And a lot of times, you know, the victim doesn't want to talk about it and is ashamed like I was. And it might take some time, but knowing, just saying, you know, if I'm there, you know, that means a lot. You know, if they didn't want to get into any detail, but all you said is, I understand, and I just want you to know that I will be there for you. That goes a long way.
Awesome.
That's powerful. Sometimes it's the simple things that are really valuable for people and emotionally supporting them. Being there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always have to do something or fix it or solve it. Sometimes you can't.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's better that you don't get involved. You don't, you know, especially if you don't really know the full situation. It could, you know, escalate, if, you know, a lot of ways if you become involved.
Well, that's powerful. good information for people to kind of share. Is there anything else like on that topic that you would want to share with the audience?
I just want, you know, everybody to know that you, each one of you can make a difference and can change, you know, lives and can be, you know, the leading force in our generation. And you can promote and advocate and teach the importance of giving back, but you have to actually do it. You have to take that action. You can't just say it.
I like it.
Yes,
Brent?
You have to take that action. Because if you don't, you probably never will. Someday becomes never, and you will just procrastinate and put it off and do it when conditions are perfect, which they never will be, and you'll still be having the same conversation 5 years from now, still having done nothing.
Yes.
Start small. Go out, smile at someone. Take it from there.
Say,
yeah,
exactly.
Tell someone to have a nice
exactly.
day.
That's
well, here's a big question here, too, is all this experience and all of your past and everything helped you in your business moving forward?
Yes and no. I mean, I've had other issues that I haven't addressed as far as a stalker, female stalker. She actually
okay.
ruined my business for a little while or tried to ruin it.
Wow.
A lot of what I went through was in the past year and a half, besides 2009 when I did a reality show where I almost died, but that would be for another day.
Yeah.
That's
a whole other audio on how you almost died.
Yes.
Yes. I'm still healing. And I am still, you know, now more open to other, you know, instances that I haven't been. And stalking is, you know, a form of domestic violence as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is getting, you know, predominantly worse as well. And that's also something that, you know, I'd like to address maybe on another time.
Yeah,
I can keep you guys on, you know, for hours with my story.
We love them. I mean, I'm sure it's helping a lot of people to hear that they're not the only one out there with some of these
yes.
stories. And certainly, they can all be used for. I mean, the experience can be used for good, and you can transform it into something powerful for other people, and create something new, and draw awareness to it, and maybe do an event around it. What do you have coming up that you're working on, charity event wise, or anything, any big thing that you're that you want to talk about or that you've got planned, other than the citywide giant charity that we're going to put together?
Yes, we are. Typically in the summer, you know, it's slow for charity events. I don't tend to do them in the Hamptons. I will go to some of them, but I, you know, usually stick to right after Labor Day to start, you know, doing more. I will be involved with the American Cancer Society's Dream Ball After Dark. I'm not exactly sure yet. I know it's in September. We're finalizing that now. So that should be taken care of within the next couple of days. And that's going to be fun. And, yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm also just doing some freelance work for a fashion company out in L.A. And trying to put together, you know, some kind of campaign for, you know, domestic violence and abuse. And, you know, hopefully have an event put together within the next.
Awesome. Well, we can collaborate on that kind of stuff. We'll definitely be in touch about that. I'm sure we can put stuff together. Where do you want people to find you, Jen?
Find me on my website, jenmartin.com, www.jenmartin.com. I have a blog, but all my contact information would be on my website, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook.
You've got all the places covered.
My email. Yes, so please reach out, any questions or comments, or you just want to chat. I'm here.
Good.
Cool. I like that openness. That's good. You're accessible. Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Brent. I think we've covered a lot today.
Yeah, thanks for Jen, thanks for being here. That was a great talk, and I know we have more to talk about, but that's a good start. So I'm sure so thanks for sharing, and thanks for sharing your personal stories with you. That's quite courageous of you, and I know that that helps a lot of people. And so I hope all of you out there had some tremendous insights. I know that you have, and again, take action on them immediately. We cover a lot of stuff, transformation work, like I said at the beginning, charity, the levels of giving, there's the event of charity, start small, all those things. Listen to this again and again, and you'll learn you'll find little nuggets of gold all over the place. And if you know someone who would benefit by listening to this audio, we encourage you to share it with them. And thank you, Jason, for being here, and thanks, Dylan, for being here.
Thanks.
And if anyone wants to know what I'm up to or what we're up to over here at BSL, as always, you can go to BrentSmithLifestyle.com. So we will talk to you all later.